Good morning. Today is September 29, 2021. It's approximately 9:30 a.m. This is the matter of application Z0334-21- subdivision. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. I'll make a couple of statements for the record. I've considered issues of conflict of interest or bias and have concluded that I have no conflict of interest or bias in this matter. I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of today's proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or an issue which will be present at today's hearing. I have received a packet of, an online packet actually, of information relevant to the hearing, exhibits identified as being submitted to the hearing that are available to all the parties and to the public. I'll state this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. At this time, I'm going to turn the hearing over to the county to provide an explanation for participation via the Zoom platform. Please proceed.
Thank you. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, which is either top or bottom depending on the device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mics will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of the hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to bblessing@clackamas.us or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive a decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by email to the staff's contact for the application or by entering it into the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
I thought you were finished, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. The order of proceedings is that I'll ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting the staff report. I see that the county also has a presentation concerning exhibits and the staff's analysis that went into that report. Then I'll provide the owner applicant an a similar opportunity to provide information, testimony, exhibits that the owner applicant wants me to consider in making a determination. There'll be a period, as Mr. Blessing referenced, when there will be an opportunity for members of the general public to also provide testimony and commentary that I will consider in making a decision in this matter. I may provide opportunities for the county and staff and also the applicant owner and their staff to provide a rebuttal. All right, please proceed.
Thank you. Just share my screen here. Oops. Okay, thank you. My name is Ben Blessing, Clackamas County Planning Staff. This is for the Whipple subdivision, file number Z0334-21-SL. Quickly, a vicinity map. You can see the subject property on the top area here being Oakfield, the Oakfield Ridge area, just generally. And then again, the immediate vicinity, you can see the high school and then all the commercial uses on McLaughlin Boulevard. And then a bird's eye view of the property. As you can see, it's fairly treed. You have single family residences surrounding the property. And you have further towards McLaughlin, south of Harold Street, you get into more medium density residential, multifamily housing, and so forth, mixed in with single family residential. So this is the proposed site plan. Again, 12 lots. There's a water quality detention facility at the I guess it would be west end of the property. You have a private road being proposed to serve the lots off of the lots 1 through 5 and appears to be 6 through 7. And it's going to be 26.5 feet wide. The private road will have a sidewalk, which I'll just describe that in a little more detail on the subsequent slide. So some highlights, again, 12 lot long subdivision. The minimum lot size allowed in the R8.5 zoning district is 66,800 square feet. So no new lot can be lower than that. None have as proposed. Private road width, again, 26 and a half feet. Paved travel surface 20 feet. And then there's going to be a 5 foot wide sidewalk on one side of the road. Frontage improvements on the public streets being Whipple and Gordon in this case, that'll receive the public improvements, including sidewalk, curb, landscape strip, and public dedication. With this development, since there's a private road and a private street and a stormwater quality track, an HOA is required, and the applicant has noted that one will be established that'll be required prior to plat recording. There will be the geotechnical report submitted was used for this application request. Another one will also be required, and some other monitoring, which is detailed in the staff report. And then just as a quick look at the utility plan, just to get oriented, that doesn't have the contours, but generally the slope flows to the west, and it'll flow into the stormwater quality track here, and you can see just at least some of what the drainage will look like there. So staff did receive comments from Oak Grove Community Council late last week, and so staff wanted to just kind of incorporate that into this presentation, and mainly make some general responses based on the Oak Grove letter stated. So there was, I think, five recommendations by that letter, and first one recommends additional tree preservation per ZDO section 1002.03, which is unfortunately not applicable in the urban growth boundary, because this application relates to housing. But I have noted that the hillside section, ZDO section 1002.01A2, is applicable, and that's a requirement in the staff or in the ZDO, and will be with any subsequent steep slope reviews. So there is a certain level of vegetation retainment that has to occur there, or re that have to be retained, excuse me. The letter also notes site distance is not a discretionary standard and should be conditioned. Staff agrees there. We did have two additional criteria that were subjective, but site distance is definitely applicable here. And county staff, I've contacted the engineering department, and they've provided a condition. It's Exhibit 14 that the hearings officer has. So staff addressed that request. So Oak Grove Community Council recommends additional geotech reporting and verification. And they recommend that geotech reports include information with respect to tree removal and groundwater. Staff's recommended conditions to the hearings officer in section 1B of the staff report reasonably address those concerns. Yes, staff found a new geotechnical investigation is going to be required based on the current one supplied by the applicant. It'll be required before construction occurs. Monitoring shall occur, and then the any design criteria and limitations set forth in subsequent geotechnical applications will need to be adhered to by the applicant. And finally, Oak Grove Community Council advises compliance with CDO Section 709, should any streams, seeps, wetlands, and so forth be discovered. ZDO Section 709 is the water quality resource area, and staff does agree with that. That should be noted that the applicant will need to provide staff with any regulated water quality area discovered on the site, if discovered. Now, there wasn't anything in the inventories, water quality maps or state wetland inventory, but if one is discovered, it'll need to be addressed prior to plat approval. Absolutely. So that can be an advisory condition, but not a staff doesn't recommend a full condition because it's not applicable as of now. So, and finally, the community council requested that the hearing can be continued to a date certain, at least 7 days from the first evidentiary hearing. And if not that, leave the record open to allow for the public to submit evidence to the hearings officer. And of course, staff also recommends at least leaving the record open to address additional exhibits or concerns from the Oak Grove letter. And of course, we've received additional exhibits today, which were given to the hearings officer and of course are available. So that's staff would also recommend that as well, if possible.
Let's just go ahead and deal with that since it's on the table right now, and I want to provide some certainty for everyone. I will leave the record open for the 7-day period for the additional comments and evidence to be submitted. I will provide the county an opportunity to have an additional 7 days to respond to all of those, and further, the last 7-day period, unless the owner applicant is wants to waive that period, an opportunity for the owner to have the last word and respond to each of these items. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think just for clarification, you're doing the 777 route, and we have the option to waive the last seven if we feel so.
That's what I said. Yes.
Okay, great.
Let's proceed.
Okay. So finally, staff recommended to the hearings officer approval of the subdivision subject to the conditions of approval. And that is all I have for the staff presentation.
Okay. Does the county have any other testimony to and evidence that the county wants to provide before we move to the owner applicant?
The only thing that I would note, I did note it in the presentation, but we have a condition submitted by County Engineering that was done last yesterday. I think it's Exhibit 14, and that's essentially just recommending a condition for site distance based on the applicant's road layout. So that just should be noted, and staff recommends that it be incorporated as a condition of approval. But other than that, just note that the exhibits we also received today from an owner, four additional exhibits, exhibit 15 through 18. Those are in the record for anyone to see. And then that's the only additional info I want to note at the moment.
Okay. I do want to address the additional condition of approval that was added as a recommendation yesterday. Mr. Miller, has the owner applicant had an opportunity to review that proposed condition of approval?
Yes, we have seen it, and we don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. Let me make a note of that. Okay. That also, I believe, addresses some of the concerns by members of the public, and so perhaps that will help with directing their commentary to things that are still on the table for their concern. This is an opportunity for the owner applicant to provide information, commentary, testimony, exhibits that the owner wants me to consider, applicant wants me to consider.
Yes, thank you very much. Steve Miller, Imerio Design, 6445 Southwest Fallbrook Place, Suite 100, Beaverton, Oregon, 97008. Just want to thank staff for all their help in getting us here tonight. We've worked very closely with them to make sure we've understood the comments that have come in from the public, from the various jurisdictions that have provided comments. And so, really appreciate their help coordinating with us and sharing that information so we know ahead of time what to expect. We concur with the staff report. We appreciate it being reviewed on the clear and objective standards for needed housing, and we appreciate the clear and objective conditions of approval to help us further comply with the required code. We do not have a presentation, but I have read through all the letters. We will do our best to try and preserve trees where we can, and at this point, we think there is a possibility to preserve trees along the kind of the northern portion of the property as it abuts Oakfield Road there. There's some opportunities there. Probably in the back of the other lots, there are also some opportunities there to preserve some trees. But in the letter from the, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the organization, the Oak Grove Community Council, they showed some areas along Whipple. Those trees will not be able to be preserved because the right-of-way improvements are going to be too great to protect those trees. So we cannot protect trees along the Whipple frontage that we're going to have to be, that will be improved. We cannot save trees in the area of the proposed water quality facility because that is very extensive to get that dug out and constructed. So we are willing to work with the county and save trees where practical and work with an arborist to, you know, identify trees that may be hazardous to future homes so they can be removed. But again, as staff noted, our plan as proposed meets the code. But we do want to be a good neighbor, and we understand that the people have lived in this area for a long time and value these trees. So where we can, we will do our best to preserve them. We've also worked with the neighbor adjacent to lot one with some encroachment issues. And so we're resolving that. It's really a civil matter, but we are working through that with them to get that resolved. And so I'm sure you will probably hear something about that today. But I do want to let you know we've been in contact with them and we're working on getting that addressed. As far as traffic goes, I know anytime a new subdivision comes into a neighborhood, whether it's four lots or more, there's always that concern. But I think we're making the necessary improvements to the neighborhood to accommodate the additional traffic that's coming from this project. We provided a trip letter, and I think staff also concurs with those analysis. So I'm not sure there's anything more we can do from a traffic perspective for this project other than making the necessary road improvements. There was a comment about lot sizes, and I think staff adequately addressed that, but our lot sizes are between 6,800 plus and up to 9,000 plus, which is pretty much what you see in the neighborhood, except for a few of the larger old county lots that might be pushing, you know, 15,000 square feet or so because of probably an old septic system that was on that property. But otherwise, we're pretty compatible with the surrounding neighborhood in terms of lot sizes and density. I think we've demonstrated through our submitted application materials that we do meet the code, that we have provided a good project, that we're going to follow the conditions of approval, and the conditions of approval provide safety measures to make sure that the slope remains stable, that trees that can be preserved are preserved, and that our density meets the required density for this zoning district. So I think I'll save the rest of my time for any rebuttal and answer any questions that the hearings officer may have at this time.
Thank you. I'd like to provide an opportunity at this time during the hearing for members of the public to provide commentary and input for me to consider in this process. Use the raise hand feature as Mr. Blessing stated.
Okay, we have several hands up, and we will go in order that they were raised. First, I have Joyce Johnson, and please provide your address if you would like us to mail you a copy of the decision.
You may need also to unmute your own microphone.
There we go.
That's going to help. I did provide my email address to receive a decision on this matter in the comments. Is that what you were saying? Joyce Johnson.
I need it on the record, please.
On the record. 16 Joyce Johnson. My email is jjohnson.con as in Nancy, S as in Sam at gmail.com. My address is 16521 Southeast Gordon Street, Milwaukee 97267. I have three areas of concern to express regarding this proposed development. And the first is traffic, which I won't go into great detail that I did in my written document that I sent in this morning. But the basic premise of my testimony is that the county has been neglectful in controlling the traffic coming and going from Putnam. It does pertain to this matter because it's never been addressed, and Gordon Street is used as a cut through. Traffic speeds along. We have a blind curve that is difficult to navigate. The road is narrow. It has outdated ditches along it, which cars run into. One did last week. I'll address that a little bit later, but basically the county needs to do something about the Putnam traffic. I contacted North Clackamas School District. They said that they don't do improvements or traffic studies or plans unless they're building a new facility. It was built in 1963. So since that time, very little has been done to address that issue, and Gordon suffers for it. People ignore the crosswalks and speed up and down Rothy and Gordon, and I and many others in the neighborhood are frustrated and want something done about it. So that does pertain to this development, because we will probably see, I think, 24 additional cars on our street coming and going. This is not a throughway. I want the traffic directed to the throughways from Rothy. So that's what I want to say about that. That was 1007.07 traffic. The next area of concern is 1006.06 surface water management erosion control. And of course, I'm concerned about the water issues on this street. Most of the people on the street deal with water issues coming down from Oatfield, and the three ditches, or the many ditches that are along this street, I videotaped and sent in to Marcus Mead, and he forwarded them these concerns to Jason Rice at OLWSD, Ben Blessing, and Rick Nyes. And I'd like to know if OLWSD is requiring any additional detention of treatment for this development that was not specified already, that I know of. I remember him saying we'd request a 100-year storm rate capture and convey in public road. I'd like more information about what that means. So basically, stormwater conveyance seems very outdated and inadequate. Long-standing issue that's not really been much addressed. The road was paved and raised up, and there were some improvements in the stormwater runoff. And there was a traffic report done at that time, but the county can't find it. I requested it, and I sent in a PDF with emails about who I contacted and what was told to me.
I did receive that, although I haven't reviewed it in detail. It came in this morning.
Sure. Thank you. The other area that I want to talk about is 1002 protection of natural features, of course, 1002.1 hillside. Hard to manage the grading and all the tree removal will not compromise the integrity of this hillside, especially with the water features of this property, which I do believe there's a natural water feature in this property. It is a seepage area and helps the water issues here, which I have already said are very outdated regarding serving this community. And for 1002.2 development restriction following excessive tree removal, applicant's response basically says taking all the trees is necessary to accommodate road and infrastructure, which is allowed. I urge the county to request the applicant follow the geotech report analysis and recommendations for the fewer lots described in the original report that was done for 6 to 10 houses. A 12-house development seems much more dense than necessary for this delicate property. Smaller development would be less harsh on the ecosystem and enable more allowance and flexibility in keeping some natural features on this beautiful and valuable property. The applicant is required to replant after each house is built and implement an erosion control plan for the property. This does not seem sufficient preservation or responsible with respect to this property or the neighborhood. It has value as a resource of trees, foliage, and wildlife inhabitants necessary for a healthy ecosystem that it affords our neighborhood. 1002.03 wooded areas. This is my last little area. It appears from the applicant's response that all trees will be removed and the conditions under which the trees are allowed to be cleared are many, even though this section calls for preservation whenever possible. I just heard the applicant talking about trying to save some trees. That's great, but there are so many allowances that grading, you know, the developer says grading, quote, grading proposed is the minimum necessary to efficiently develop this property, unquote. Seems like a standard and allowable way to clear the land when it may not be necessary. And this is a delicate hillside seepage situation. I urge that the plan be revised to include keeping the old oak grove as its habitat for screech owls, hawks, common birds, flickers, and other woodpeckers and visiting osprey. Neighbors need vegetation, trees for clean air and habitats for animals to keep as balanced an ecosystem as possible in the city. Don't allow the removal of all the vital trees for this crowded development. The applicant claims all the trees are reported by the arborist to be in fair to poor condition. Maybe there should be a second opinion. Lastly, I would request the record be kept open, and thank you for allowing that to happen, because some people do need an evening meeting, and I believe more input needs to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have another member of the public that has a raised hand? And I did receive the comments by Ms. Johnson, and I've received her testimony. If you simply want to affirm what she says, be clear about that. Thank you.
Next, we have Richard Nippon.
Hi, Richard Nippon, 3463 Southeast McCartney Lane, Oak Grove, Oregon, 97267. I am a board member of the OGCC, and I included some notes in the chat. I just wanted to make it clear that we're not just a community council. We are the official CPO, which is an official advisory to these kinds of hearings. And that the letter that was sent was voted on at a public meeting that was properly advertised and open to the public. I just thought that should be clarified, that we're not just the community council. The other thing that was discussed at our meeting, which is certainly not a requirement, was the concept of clustering the development to a small part, which would allow for the preservation of more trees. That's completely up to the applicant, but I'm sure that the neighborhood would appreciate preservation of the property. It's not the density of the property, the houses, although, you know, certainly the idea of more traffic is more traffic. But as a way of preserving trees, sometimes following the ordinance is less intelligent than differing from the ordinance. So just wanted to make known that that was discussed and had a lot of approval. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next, we have Tori Simons.
Hello, this is Tori Simons, 4751 Southeast Whipple Avenue, Milwaukee, 97267. I live on the section of Whipple that faces the lot. And I know a couple of these issues have already been touched on, but I'd like to continue to touch on them some more just to put the emphasis on their importance. Of course, the big one is the trees. These are mature Oregon white oak trees, which are a species of concern and a habitat of concern. And in association with them, there are Oregon ash, some Doug fir, some big leaf maple, all native plants, trees. And as mature trees, their roots do go very deep into this hillside. And even with the arborist report said like 350 trees on this lot, there are extensive water issues. There is standing water on this lot year round, more or less, specifically during the rainy season. There is standing water that moves across this lot. There is a seasonal stream that moves through the lot, as well as what is a wetland and or marsh about in the center area of the lot. This is highlighted and easy to see by the false hellebore, a plant that only grows on areas of water seepage and wetlands there's a huge amount of them that grow in the middle of the lot right where the wetland / marshy area is. Whipple Avenue constantly has large streams of water moving across it during the winter. Our front yards are basically flood zones. And we have sump pumps that operate 24/7 during the rainy season to clear the water out from underneath our houses. Keep in mind that the water table in this area, even though we are on a hill, is just 3 to 7 feet below the surface. There is a lot of water moving through this hill. And even with some 300 trees on this lot, there is still critical water issues to the lot and the surrounding areas. And so, of course, it being developed, the majority of the trees being cut down, impermeable surfaces being put in their place, it does raise a lot of concerns for the people around the area about how is this going to exacerbate the current issue. And, you know, not only what is it going to do to our properties, but to the properties on this lot. As noted in the geotech report, it is an area of an old landslide. There is a lot of different soils in there. So, you know, which causes a lot of different issues with those different soils for building. As noted in the geotech report, they recommend only doing land work during the dry months of July through October, because that is how extensive the water issues are here, how wet it is. So I just want to really highlight that the water issues on this lot and on this portion of the hill, due to the mix of soils from that landslide, et cetera, are no joke. And as stated in that geotech report, there is a very high risk of slope instability and future loss of potential life if things are not done correctly. And as we know, landslides and whatnot in this area are no joke. We've seen them happen. So everything needs to be done to ensure that that does not happen here, to protect not only the future homeowners, but the homeowners who are already living in this area. Going from that, that touched on both the need for maintaining as many of these mature trees as possible, and in the instances where they must be cut down, identifying trees that are going to be climate resilient and also provide the same deep root systems to help hold the hill in place as the trees that they will be replacing. It'll take decades for them to be able to do the work that the mature trees already do, but we need to make sure that the trees planted in their place are ones that can do similar work once they mature. And I know I've heard that the geotech report is going to, another one is going to be required. And I'm glad to hear that, because I know this first one was just for based on 6 to 10 houses and not the 12 that have been proposed.
Yes.
So I'm interested in seeing what that geotech report comes back with. Once again, just to reiterate, there's a lot of water that moves through this hill. There are natural water features on the lot. And a site visit during the rainy season will reveal just how wet it is. And, you know, I'd love to see some studies done about the water moving through there, just so that people can get a clear idea of just how great it is. And then last one would be the traffic and pedestrian safety. This little neighborhood, if you will, that is bordered by McLaughlin Boulevard, Concord, Oatfield, and Rothy has absolutely no access to any parks or natural spaces without having to cross busy roads, unsafe roads. McLaughlin is not the safest road to cross. And so all the families that live in this area walk on Harold, Neff, Whipple, Gordon, and Rothy. They are pedestrian heavy roads. You will see oftentimes more people out walking on them than you will see cars. And I think this is something that really needs to be taken into concern. It's not just the traffic concerns regarding vehicles, but the traffic concerns regarding roads that are heavily shared with people on foot, with kids outside playing, with people out walking their dogs, especially as we add potentially 24 new vehicles that will be living at these houses, but also taking into account the increased delivery drivers, visitors, et cetera. And now that schools are back in session, just the amount of traffic that the high school generates is creating, I would like to see done on these streets similar to what Portland has, are the neighborhood greenways, where there this are is, more-
Yeah, I missed that. Neighborhood-
Greenways? So oh, they're sure. Open to local traffic, but are okay. Promoted towards pedestrian and bicycles. And what they've done is, one, speed bumps to keep traffic slow, and two, they've put painted symbols on the roads every few hundred feet of bicycles. I would like to see the similar done with pedestrians here, so that those who are in vehicles are aware and constantly watching out for the kids and the families and whatnot on these streets. Especially right now, they're are quite a few stop signs that are lacking in the area. People, like where Gordon goes into Neff, there's no stop sign. People just roll on through. With Whipple, there are children, quite a few children who live on both the upper and lower portion of Whipple, and they often are playing out in the streets. And so just taking that into account, whether it's in the developer or the developer in conjunction with the county, but realizing that now that we're adding another 12 homes on an area, especially on Whipland Avenue, where there's maybe already just 15 or 20 homes, so we're nearly doubling the amount of homes on Whipple Avenue, to make sure that people are safe when they're out walking. I know there have been some deaths on Herald of cars hitting people. One of the families that lives on Whipple lost one of their children to being hit by a vehicle. Sorry, dog's barking. but that's just something that I would like to reiterate. It's not just a question about more cars on these roads, but it's how are those cars going to interact with the people that rely on these roads to be able to get out and walk and exercise.
I did hear your comments, the ones, and I will I'll pick through those for the relevant issues that are
sure.
criteria for your some of your commentary, while all of it is important and relevant to the community, as some of the previous comments were made as well, that are more applicable to sort of a legislative intervention here.
Okay.
You want improvements to the area, access to more recreational opportunities, and those are policy issues. But all of it is true and important and up for discussion. So thank you for participating.
Yes, thank you.
And next we have Mark Jelinewski.
Am I on now?
Yes.
Good morning. Mark and Karen Jelinski here, 16221 Southeast Whipple Avenue. The subject property is directly next to mine, to my south. Let me begin with referencing and echoing what Joyce and Tori have already said. A lot of what I'm going to say is similar, but a bit more detailed and specific because we've been here for nearly four decades adjoining this property. I want to reference the...
And excuse me, I yes. see your name is Mark Jelinewski, but you said you were...
Karen? With... Karen Jelinski, my wife.
Karen.
Okay. I'm right here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. K-A-R-E-N?
Yes.
Okay. I don't like to assume...
That's okay.
That's all right. Thanks. And we appreciate you guys doing this and hearing us out. Beginning with the developer's own survey from American Geo Services, we understand the proposed development will consist of developing the property into 6 to 10 residential lots. So that's not 12. I just want to point that out. And we've already pointed out that there will be another engineering survey done, and we're eager to see the results of that. I'm going to read something because I'm pretty emotional about this. So the clear cutting demolition of this entire mature oak forest poses serious surface and groundwater hazards, along with dangerous soil stability issues that will affect our entire community on this ancient slide zone. Neighbors adjoining and downhill of the clear cut will be especially at risk of water problems and slide hazards. Plenty of water problems are already existing here, as Tori and Joyce have pointed out. The proposed replanting of tiny trees will not mitigate serious soil and water problems, resulting from the clear cut, and will not provide soil stability and water absorption at all comparable to the existing mature oak grove forest. The clear cutting of all these trees poses safety and soil stability issues for the entire neighborhood, and in my opinion, does not demonstrate good stewardship of the subject property or our community. A couple of specific water concerns that I've witnessed over the decades myself include the area of proposed lot numbers 8 through 12. You guys see that on the proposed map? Over the decades, I've observed that particular area, which kind of runs to the downhill and to the west, there is a seasonal wetland marshy area in there where the skunk cabbage will often grow waist high in the wet season. So there's definitely plenty of water, and I would consider it a seasonal wetland in there. I recommend that Steve and his associates provide a free sump pump with each of the lots sold, and the neighbors downhill should buy two. In closing, we seek some balance and some common ground between no development and overdevelopment, keeping all the trees or clear cutting one lot or 12 lots. To me, the 6 to 10 lots that are recommended in the geotech report, the original one, seems sensible and more functional for the entire neighborhood and the developer. We seek common ground and shared profits, as well as community safety and preservation of livability and our neighborhood lifestyle here. And my wife has something she's written. Is it okay if she reads this? Yeah, great.
My name is Karen Jelinski. I live at 16221 Southeast Whipple. My family purchased our property November 1984. Our home is right next door to 16305 Oakfield Road. I've been told this can't be personal or emotional, but it is. This is my home where we started and raised our family. This home has seen many holidays and happy times, along with safe place for sad times. The beauty, the quiet of the many trees, 100-year-old oak grove, is loved and cherished by the entire neighborhood. Each season brings amazing changes and beauty. This 100-year-old grove has been constant and something we all depend on. Oak Grove is a small Oregon town, and this is one of the last Oregon groves. Builders have come in subdivision at a time with the same story, how it will be good for the area. But as what is really happening is Clackamas County is allowing them to wipe out the amazing beauty and charm of this area. Take a look at Happy Valley. This is what our small town will look like, subdivision after subdivision, everything looking the same with little sidewalks, trees, no charm. This 100-year-old oak grove has thousands of birds, hawks, eagles, deer, fawns, owls, raccoons, skunks, and even a coyote or two. This secluded area has a personality and its own ecosystem. So give me an explanation as to why this subdivision and clear cutting is good for my community and my family. As I have read through the many, many reports and papers about this subdivision that Mark Pascal is proposing, it made me sick and quite mad that Clackamas County would allow such damage and let Amerio decimate this whole piece of land. I read many lies about 16305. I know this area because I live here. I have lived here almost 40 years. The drainage problems, the water runoffs, the trees that are to be clear cut. These trees are viable and beautiful. They survived in February, the worst snow and ice storm this area ever saw. Our low traffic area will be swarming with vehicles going back and forth. Our quiet areas will be no more. Our small narrow roads will be overloaded and dangerous. I pray for whoever was to buy this property would be good stewards of this beautiful piece of land, neighborhood, and community. And in my heart, I'm not feeling good about any of this. The bottom line is money and greed, not the community. So you see, this is very emotional to me, and this is not a blessing. It is a nightmare. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and I will look them over through my notes as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I have Robert Funderburk.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Robert Funderburk, 16510 Southeast Gordon Street. My property is at the very bottom of the development plan. I have lived there 20 plus years. I raised my family there. I have been in my backyard, and I had a bald eagle land on one of my fence posts one day. And why? Because they hunt that. I have seen deer in that forest. I have I witnessed this just this last season. Two amazing owls mating in that forest, and I have it on film. I have, if you take that forest down, you're going to take the neighborhood. You're going to kill it. You know, it's incredibly emotional for me as well. I just know that just by clear cutting what they did already, the noise has been exponential. I have a very difficult time sleeping because the noise already has been way more than what it should be. And again, what size of houses are they going to build? Are they going to build houses that are going to look into my backyard, my privacy? And that can't be either. People love this neighborhood. And on the water issues, I'm going to be real here. My backyard is entirely rock. Why? Because a river runs through it. It does. When it rains, everything in my backyard literally has a river running through it. There was so much water this last season that it was flowing over my neighbor's retaining wall because his entire backyard was filled. I just don't see how taking down trees, and if, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't the white oak absorb more carbon than any other tree? I think that could be a possibility there. So realistically, if you want to be a good steward and help develop this property, make it look like the rest of the neighborhood. Make it look like the rest of the neighborhood. It's really important that you keep this chunk somewhat similar to the way that it is. You know, again, I've seen some incredible animals there. The water is definitely an issue, you know. And then that whole car thing, the 24, this is the problem I have with 12 more houses. So the Amazon delivery truck drives up my private driveway 6 times a day for one client. So do you see where I'm going with this? You had 12 houses. How many Amazon vehicles are going to be on our road addition with the cars? Again, those delivery things should be considered in every development from now on, because unfortunately people are using Amazon for everything. So that is excessive traffic on top of that. And we've all had problems with Amazon drivers. They park wherever they want, whenever they want, and obstruct the road however they want. I think that's about it for me. I really hope that, we can work on this, and we should really consider the height of the homes that are going to be going in there too, because those are people's backyards that people are going to be. The one neighbor, John on the top, I think he's going to have 5 homes looking into his backyard now, 6 homes. That's not really right. But thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm out of the country right now, so I'm doing this.
Thank you for your commentary, sir, and your participation in the process.
Thank you.
It looks like that is the last hand that was raised.
Okay. I'd like to ask the county, does the county have any additional comments to make or rebuttal of the comments that were received? And then I will provide an opportunity for the applicant as well.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. And again, yeah, the appreciate all the comments. From Ms. Johnson's notes, I wanted to say, you know, basically that, you know what, we the hillside areas, you know, we'd like to preserve as much trees as we can, but unfortunately it's just, you know, we don't have that option because of the state statute that basically says we can't prevent development, but it does sound like the developer was going to try to retain some trees in the rear, and that's where the steep slopes are too. So that's going to have to occur subject to section 1002.01. As far as, let's see here. Yeah, and so Tori Simon's comments, Mr. Cox kind of alluded to probably some legislative fixes, but I'd also like to point out the traffic safety concerns. Those are understood, and you may be aware of this, but there are some resources, not to say that this is going to fix anything, but there are some in our transportation engineering department. I think it's called Drive to Zero. There's some ways to do traffic calming, or at least get the discussion started. And if you ever want me to provide that info, I can. There's a contact at the county. And there's been a couple of questions about the subsequent geotech report that's required. And I just want to let everyone know that that will be a condition of approval. So it will be required, and it will be available, as will all the other, you know, any other conditions that require documents and so forth. So that can be, you can get a copy of that, as it progresses. As far as the variation of lot sizes, 6 to 10 and so forth, I should just point that, the applicant, regardless of what the geotech report said, we do have density standards in the county, and the current density standards are 9, the minimum density, meaning the least you can construct are 9, the most you construct are 12. So that's just the range that the applicant has to adhere to. So I just wanted to note that. And of course, finally, the geotech report will have to, basically demonstrate that, whatever construction layout proposed, is you know, essentially following the geotechnical recommendations and so forth. And if there are, as mentioned in the staff report, if there are any kind of changes or some kind of areas that are required to be undisturbed and so forth, those will have to be highlighted by the applicant, and it'll be noted by staff too. So those are my main comments. I appreciate all the comments received here.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Miller, on behalf of the applicant, do you have additional responses you'd like for me to consider?
Yeah, I would like to respond to some of the comments that you received. In terms of many of them, they were all pretty similar. Mr. Richard Nipone, though, had a comment about cluster housing, and I'd just like to say thank you for that comment. We understand where that comes from, but at this time, we'd like to move forward with the project that we've proposed, the 12-lot subdivision. And again, that's largely to do with meeting the density requirements. I don't know if we could get there with a cluster. So that's how we've addressed the density, is with the layout that we've proposed. In terms of traffic, it sounded like, as you heard, Mr. Hearings Officer, some of it was broader than just the project, and it was things that probably needed to be brought up at the county commissioners' hearings to share some of their thoughts with them so they could come up with a broader approach on how to address traffic in the broader region. So I won't go into that, but I think our traffic study and the improvements that we're proposing, the conditions of approval that address traffic, are specific to our project and account for the impacts that will be generated from this project. So I think we have met that burden for this project as it relates to traffic. I think people will move into this neighborhood and see how other people use the neighborhood. And I'm sure they'll also want to keep it safe and make sure that it's a wonderful place to live for everybody. So I can appreciate the anxiety that folks have when a neighboring property that's been undeveloped for a long period of time finally does get developed. But I think we're showing that we're trying to do it in a reasonable way. We're trying to meet the codes that are applicable, density being one of those. As we've discussed earlier, we do recognize the value of these trees. They are some large trees that should be preserved. And so, as I indicated, where we can do that, we're willing to work with the city, our arborists, our geotech, to identify where those opportunities are and to preserve, you know, what's practical given what's proposed. In terms of natural features and water on the property, we are aware that there is moisture on the property. We are working with an environmental consultant right now, and it does appear that there is a seasonal wetland down in the area of lot 12 and a proposed drainage pond or water quality facility, if you will. And so we're working on getting that resolved and addressed, and we'll have some additional information for city once that study is completed. I'm not sure if it will be completed in time to share with you for this, but I will try and get a response for you during the written period from our environmental consultant to share with you what he's found and what his thoughts are for that. So we can get that into the record before it's closed.
And I did say I'd keep the record open for 3 weeks. I would suggest that if you require additional time for such a report, that you communicate that to the county and they can forward such a request to me, and I can consider whether to extend the open record period if that is if that's something that should be done.
No, thank you very much. I will get on the phone with our consultant after this meeting and find out where he's at and what level of detail we can provide you now, and then that'll help us determine if we need a little bit more time or not.
Right. And same for the county. If the applicant is going to introduce new factual information, then you can also request an extension of your time to respond to that.
Okay. Got it.
Understood. just looking through my notes here real quick. As you know, Mr. Hearings Officer, one of our requirements, you know, for doing these projects is to address our stormwater and to keep it on site and to not have it be an off-site issue. And so Mr. Evans, who just joined us here, is our engineer for the project, and he is working hard on coming up with a grading plan and a stormwater plan that will accommodate that water that's on the property, any new additional water from the hard surfaces. So those things are being sized accordingly to make sure that the water issues are addressed. Eric, maybe if you can at this time provide any additional comments on grading, stormwater, existing site conditions.
Sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So the there's a lot of comments about the site being wet, and I'd say likely this is because there's no storm system on the site or in the area. So we're providing a modern storm pipe meeting the local standards, 12-inch diameter storm pipe around 5 feet deep in the right of way. Each lot will have its own storm lateral, and which the houses will be sited such that the crawl space will have access via gravity to the storm system. There could potentially be the opportunity for the neighbors across the street to tie into the system as well. With the line being about 4 feet deep, it's potential that could work for their crawl spaces and maybe not have to employ sump pumps, which is a result of having no storm system.
Mr. Evans, are you a civil engineer, or what's your
matter? Eric Evans, professional engineer, state of Oregon. Okay. Worked for Mario Design. Same address as Steve. My bad. And what else? Let's see. There's a storm pond at the bottom of the site, and that provides the detention and water quality effect in compliance with Oak Lodge's water quality standards and detention standards. And then the water is directed to a existing storm system across Gordon to a system that looks like it was installed in recent years by another development. And then it heads away from there, detained to the standard required by Oak Lodge. And then there's a little ditch in Gordon that will be picked up as well and routed downstream. So I think some of the problems that the neighbors are experiencing might be alleviated by our system in the vicinity of our development. The greater wetness of various lots and such pretty much on the other side of the street or adjoining us won't, there'd be no change. It won't be worse, but it likely won't it just won't get worse, which is sort of our standard of care. I guess that's all I have.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Eric. I think at this time, I'd just like to ask if Mr. Pascal or Jim McCartan have any comments as our team members here to share with you maybe any historical perspective or just their local knowledge. Mark or Jim?
Yeah, it's Mark. I don't have any comments. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Jim, any comments?
No, I guess I would just state that the property had been on the market for quite some time and reviewed by a number of different developers. And I feel really good about Pasco being involved in it and the way he's approaching the project and working with Amerio and trying to make it right and being neighborly. So thanks, Mark. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Jim and Mark. I appreciate that. With that, I think that concludes our rebuttal at this time, and we'll work through the open written record.
Okay. So I am keeping the record open. As I stated, an additional 7-day period for public comments.
Yeah.
And a 7-day period past that, so 14 days, for the county to have an opportunity to review those public comments and respond, and if the county so chooses. Then the last word for the applicant, that up to that 21-day period, if either the county or the applicant requires additional time, for example, as I stated, if the applicant submits a new factual study that the county reviews and feels it needs to respond to, then contact me about in order to keep the record open for that response. Is that clear?
That's 100% clear to me.
Okay.
And as far as our clock goes, the 120-day clock, I think there's, I can look at it, but we have well into December. So there should be sufficient time without the applicant even requesting the record be extended, but it also, the applicant could request, if they need more time to, we could extend the 120-day clock as well. Just noting that.
Thanks for bringing it back to that. I didn't look at your deadline. I was only thinking about mine. So
yes, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. The record will stay open, but this concludes this portion of the review in this matter.
Great. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate your time, and thanks for having the hearing in the morning. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Also, everyone that had an opportunity to either participate or just to watch the proceedings.
Thank you. Goodbye.